I feel like I need a leather jacket.
I want some sunglasses.
Oh yeah, sunglasses and leather jacket, and the fingerless glove, like the leather gloves from the 80s that the gang members wore.
Yeah, and like spiky things.
Yes, the spike bracelets.
Yes,
like it. We need that.
Hey, Halloween's coming up.
Halloween passed.
Oh yeah.
Next Halloween. Law and Disorder, what's up, guys?
Hey, everybody.
We are here, and we are energetic, and we are thanking the sponsors. Thanks to Wave Space Audio for the music, this awesome intro, and Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google product needs. And we're here. Season seven. We're here. What's up, Miss Caitlin?
Oh, life, you know, same crap, different day. Yeah.
For some people, it's worse. For some people, it's better.
I don't think I'm one of the better people. I'm kind of the same. Like, I think exactly what I said is exactly what's going on. Like, nothing bad has happened to me, but nothing, like, really great's happened.
You haven't won the lottery or anything?
Oh, no. If I won the lottery, I wouldn't be doing this, so.
If I won the lottery, that's all I would be doing. We're the complete opposite.
Oh, no, I'd be, like, traveling and doing other stuff, eating whatever I wanted. Yeah,
you have to work out. You can't eat whatever you want. You have to work out.
No, I get, like, fancy things like caviar and...
Are they healthier? Is it healthier for you?
I mean, I'm not saying I'd eat, like, crappy food, like, food that's bad for me. I'm just gonna get like high-end steaks and like fancy food. Maybe I should say fancy, like stuff prepared by a five-star chef or something.
You'd have one at the house every day.
Yeah. Someone to make my meals for me.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
I'd have somebody do my laundry.
Hire someone to do that now.
I know, but I'd have somebody like all the time.
Oh,
it's like I don't have any dirty laundry.
Like, oh, we need like a butler. That's what a butler does.
I would get a butler. Yeah, I would have one.
And he would have an English accent, because that's the only kind of butler I want.
I don't think I've seen a butler on TV shows that had any other accent.
Oh,
on TV shows, they're
like,
always...
Like in Batman, it was Michael Caine.
In Batman, in Fresh Prince, Jeffrey was British.
Wasn't his name Joffrey? I don't know. I think some people called him Joffrey and... Yeah. Or no, it's Joff. No, I don't know.
Jeffrey Butler. That might have been his actual name.
Yeah, I can't think of a butler being from anywhere else.
They're always very studious. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get butlers when we win the lottery.
Yeah. And the millions and millions of chances of us winning the lottery. But instead, we're here. And I'm glad you guys are here. Because we're going to talk about some news.
We're getting into Law and Disorderly News. We're going to talk about some news that is big in the world this week. Let's get into it, shall we?
Yes. So, one of the first things that I noticed, or I'm hoping you guys have noticed, but for the past 3 weeks, we have not had a Speaker of the House. Our last Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, was kind of like voted out. It was like Survivor. They were like, nah, you're done, dude. And the House just voted him out. Like, he gone.
Wasn't that the first time ever?
Yes. That, like, has never happened in the history of our country.
In the 250 years almost, I think?
Yeah, this is the first time someone's been voted out by the House and fired.
Wow. By his own constituents? Yep. Like his own party and everything.
His own party, yeah.
So, yeah, Kevin McCarthy is now on the unemployment line.
He's fine. He'll be good. He'll be fine. But yeah, so for about the past 3 weeks, we haven't had a Speaker of the House because no one could agree on who it should be. People would like recommend or elect someone and then they couldn't agree.
They couldn't get enough votes.
No, they keep going back and forth. There's a tie. It's been crazy. So we haven't had one for the past 3 weeks. There's been like an interim, like substitute, we'll call it.
If you guys know anything about substitutes, it's kind of like a teacher. Substitute teacher doesn't do anything but put the movie in the VCR and go
He's like, I'm not making any executive decisions. I'm just here because a person needs to stand here. That's basically what's happening.
I'm the adult in the room.
God forbid the president and the vice president died. I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm just a figurehead.
Yes. But if they had died, he would have been the next president.
Oh, man. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that would have been terrible.
Yes. But I would have taken that over our new House Speaker. They finally elected one. His name is Mike Johnson, and he's from Louisiana.
Ooh, there's not a whole lot of good stuff that comes out of Louisiana, is there?
Other than, like, the food?
The music.
The music and the food and the culture.
But not, like, politically.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about Mr. Mike Johnson.
Well, he got unanimous support from the Republican Party, and that's how he was able to win the seat. So let me tell you some of the things he supports, and I think you're going to, like, scratch your head and be like, really? Nah, you're joking. This can't be real. This is all 100% true. This is a real person who really believes and said and did the things that he did. Ooh. And this is the person that they voted for.
Unanimously.
This is the second person in line for the presidency. If the president and vice president were to both die at the same time for some reason, he would be the next president.
Okay, I want to hear this.
I don't know where to start. It's all so bad. So first things first, he is against gay marriage. He thinks it should be illegal.
Just straight up illegal.
Straight up illegal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He wants to repeal that law.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it gets worse?
Yeah, it gets worse from there.
Okay. I mean, I'm not on board with him already, but let's go.
He also believes that there should be a federal abortion ban.
Really?
Yep.
So, like,
because here's his reasoning. He said that it is every woman's duty in America, every woman's duty to produce at least one able-bodied worker in her lifetime.
What?
He literally said that. He literally said, I want a federal abortion ban because it should be every woman's duty in this country to produce an able-bodied worker.
We have enough able-bodied workers.
Maybe now, but he's thinking, like, long-term in the future. Because right now, the birth rate has been declining. It's one of the lowest it's ever been. And that might not be bad now, but 20 years from now, we won't have enough people in the workforce to maintain the economy. So that's why we need the birth rate to go back up. And he thinks by having a federal abortion ban, that'll fix the problem.
Okay, so is there any exception to this abortion ban?
I mean, they don't go into that, okay. But
I'm just like, what, like if you're raped or if it's like if you're dying.
If it's dead, typically these abortion bans don't count for any of that. It's have to hope you pass it naturally and hope you don't die.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So going off of what he said, if he wants an able-bodied worker, and let's say you have a child that doesn't make it. Does that mean that you didn't fulfill your duty and you have to have another one? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, I had the kid. Technically, I had a baby. I can't help it that the kid didn't make it to the workforce.
Exactly.
I mean, like, am I going to get penalized if I have a kid and then the kid passes away before he's old enough to work? Like, do I got to pay taxes or something? Is there some kind of penalty for this?
I saw a video by this woman who was talking about it, and she made a good point. She's like, okay, well, I have 4 kids, so does that mean I can give, like, 3 vouchers out to 3 women saying, these 3 women don't have to have kids because I had 4. So I had 1 and then an extra one for each 3 of them.
Yeah, or does she get credit? Does the government pay her because she had an abundance of children? Like, did you get money? Do you get some kind of stimulus because you had multiple children?
No, but you saved the future economy, and that's your reward.
Okay. I'm not on board with that one either.
Oh, okay. So he's in a, quote, covenant marriage, which makes it really hard for him to get divorced. So he's like one of those evangelical Christians. So he's very, very right-brained on that kind of stuff.
So explain, give me like a brief explanation of a covenant marriage.
He married, I guess his wife's name was Kelly, or is Kelly, I don't know. And they got married in 1999, okay. So quite a while ago. But both of them have voluntarily opted, they opted into the arrangement. But under Louisiana state law, which is where they're from, couples sign a document in which they agree to seek marital counseling before getting a divorce. And additionally, couples can only get divorced on a limited set of grounds, including like adultery or if someone committed a felony, physical or sexual abuse, stuff like that.
What? So it's like a prenup for it's like a prenup for grounds of divorce?
Kinda. Yeah. Yeah. So they do this quote covenant marriage. Basically, yeah, it's weird. I had to reread it several times. I'm just like, okay, so like you're just basically saying we can never get divorced no matter what.
Unless you break these rules.
Yeah. But like, even if like you fall out of love and you hate each other and you're miserable, you have to stay married.
Because I can, according to that thing, I can cheat on you and then I've broken
it. Yeah. What I'm saying is until the moment you cheat, if you stay together for 30 years and you don't cheat on her for 30 years, you don't commit a felony, you're not abusive, but you still hate her and you don't love her and you're just miserable, you still have to stay married.
I mean, I would just find like the lowest felony I could have. You know, like I would, what's a low felony? Like having a bag of weed or something?
Isn't like opening someone else's mail considered a felony?
Technically, if you kill a bald eagle, which I don't recommend that, you know, isn't ripping off the mattress tag, is that still a felony? Didn't that used to be a crime to rip
off? Do not remove under penalty.
Yeah. I mean, like I get on TikTok or like Facebook Live and just rip it off and be like, come get me. I don't know.
He kind of has this side gig. I'm going to call it a side gig, where he moonlights as a professor at Liberty University. And
is that the one that you see on like TV at night?
That's the evangelical college that Trump used to like talk at. And he's made over 120 grand moonlighting as like a quote professor giving speeches there.
What?
Yeah. And like it's a private college and everyone there like has the same mindset as you. But what? No, 120 grand. That's a lot. That's a lot of money to go talk to people who agree with you.
But that's not that college that you see late at night on TV, is it? Like an infomercial or like a long...
I don't have cable, so I don't know.
Like a long commercial for one of the... Kind of like DeVry and all that. It's just like one of those long commercials for one of those weird colleges.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was.
I thought there was. It sounds familiar.
Let's see. What else do I not like about him? Ah, he played a bigger role than most House Republicans in Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election.
Okay. So, is this all the bad stuff on this guy?
This is all, yeah, most of it.
Mm-hmm. But I guess it's one of those things where you had such a problem getting somebody to pass to where you know there was a unanimous vote. So, how did you end up with, of all the Republicans you could have picked, how did you end up with this one? And how did you end up with a unanimous vote?
Exactly.
Is it one of those things where you just got beaten to submission? They're like, fine, just do it.
I mean, to me, it's like they had to agree on whoever's the most like right-winged out there. Okay, who's the most evangelical? Who's the most conservative? Like, I feel like that's what they were trying to agree. Who's the most
absurd?
No, he's not the most absurd conservative. He can't be it. Okay, maybe Mike Johnson. Yeah, yeah, he's the most right-wing conservative.
Like, this guy will make everybody happy, and then the others will hate him, and whatever. We'll just put him over there.
And he's kind of, I don't want to say he's young, but I think he's kind of a younger person, and he's 51.
He's young by their standards.
By their standards, he's a younger guy. So it's like, maybe that also kind of appeals to like some of the younger, older gen Xers. Is that?
But it doesn't, based on his beliefs, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of compromise in him. How are you going to have like bipartisan agreements? You know, isn't that the whole point of government, is that you can bring two different sides together to kind of compromise on agendas?
supposed to.
So how is that going to work if this person is so far to the right?
We're just going to have to hope that the other side of the Democrats have more votes in the House.
You know, that's what really seems kind of weird. It's like he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that can straddle the line.
No.
He can't like rub elbows with Democrats to sway them to get a vote.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you still have to have that. You got to have that schmoozing. Like you got to be able to like rub elbows and be like, hey, man, you know, I know we don't agree on everything, but, you know, this is what I think we can do here. This seems like it's like everything is so far right. And if you don't agree with us, just eat it.
That's basically what it is.
And then we'll see you in 2024. And if the Republicans win, then we got this. Don't worry. That's what it seems like. It's just like, we just need somebody to hold the fort down until, you know, through November of 24. I guess that's what they're banking on, is that they're going to win in 24. And it's okay. We'll just...
Yeah. Anyway, if you heard that, that's our producer.
But you know what? That's kind of a little scary. Because according to the way the laws of the government are, if the president were to pass, which he is very high up in age, he's one of the, I don't know if he's the oldest president, but he's one of the oldest.
He's 81 right now, I believe.
He's one of the oldest I think we've ever had. So if he were to pass, and then Vice President Harris becomes president, your Speaker of the House becomes Vice President.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, and maybe, are they like sadistic and they're thinking of that? Are they thinking like, well, what if President Biden doesn't make it? We've got this like 1% chance of getting a vice president.
I mean, it's the closest I think anyone that far right winged in a political position. I mean, Kevin McCarthy wasn't that much better, but I mean, yeah.
I just wonder if somebody's thinking about that. I wonder if somebody was like, hey, we got like a 1% chance that he won't make it. He won't survive through his term. And then we're in.
Then this also gives him a position of power where he will be able to do more lobbying and more campaigning. So if he were to run for a presidency in the future, people are going to know his name. He's going to have the money. He's going to be able to campaign.
Okay, so it's still early on. I mean, you have people that have put their hat in the ring for the candidacy. But there's nothing, I mean, right now we're at the end of 2023. There's nothing stopping him now from saying, hey, you know what? I want to run for president too. There's nothing stopping a bunch of conservative, super ultra right wingers to say, hey, let's put our money on this guy. This is our horse.
And even if it's not next year's election, it could be the one following that even. Yeah. I mean,
but I'm just saying you could, we've seen wackier things in American politics over the last decade. It's very possible. Something like this could just happen.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I don't like to think about it.
It's a head scratcher.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. It's a head scratcher.
Drink a glass of wine and just listen to some cool jams and go to bed. Let's move on to something else. This is a completely different article, way off subject of politics, because I don't always like talking about politics. It gets me worked up. But I think you and I are going to get worked up on this because I think we're going to have different opinions about it. But there is a video of a girl on TikTok going viral right now because she's a Gen Zer. I don't know how old she is, but she's probably like early to mid 20s. And in this video, which was only like a minute and a half long, she is complaining about her 9-to-5 job. She just graduated college this year, or maybe this past spring. This is her first corporate job working in an office. Like she has to go physically in 9-to-5, and she's complaining about how she has no life.
She's not complaining. You're being nice to her. She's crying. She's literally in tears.
She is crying in the video.
She is in tears. She is like, she's doing like that, like when you were little and like if you got in trouble and you got popped, you're doing like that quivering lip thing, like you're trying to man up and not full blown cry. She's doing that. She's like,
Well, this girl, her name is Brielle Acero, if I pronounce that correctly. She has a TikTok account. Her username is at BrieLEBelly123, and she has over 125,000 TikTok followers because of this video. And I'll give you kind of a brief summary of what she says on it. But basically, she goes, you know, on a typical work day, she gets on the train at 7:30 a.m. She doesn't get home until at least 6:15, the earliest. She doesn't have time to do anything. You know, you work 9 to 5. You have to get travel to work beforehand. You have to travel to work afterwards. Like, even if you get off at 5, you have to commute back home. And then typically after working all day, you're probably a little tired, if not physically, at least mentally. And she doesn't like the fact that she has no energy to work out or cook herself dinner or go hang out with people or do anything, basically. And that's what's got her so upset.
So this is the gist of it. I'll give you the better version. Wah, wah, wah. I spend 9 to 10 hours a day to go to work and to commute to work total. Wah, wah, wah. Woe is me. I'm only gone from the house 9, 10 hours a day. That's all I heard. Is I leave the house at 7:30 to be at work at 9. I leave work at 5 to be home at 6:15. 6:30, whatever she said. She didn't tell me anything that's just mind-blowingly new news. I don't know anybody that commutes that doesn't have that same issue. Congratulations. Welcome to the workforce. You're one of millions of other people. What do we have now? 8 billion people in the world? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're one of like, what, 5, 6 billion people that do this every day. Welcome. That's all I heard. And she's crying like she's in a freaking sweatshop. She's bawling like she doesn't get a break. She doesn't get vacation time. She doesn't get anything. She's just like crying like, I mean, come on, man. What does she do for a living? I don't even catch that part. What does she do for a living?
She works, she does I don't know the exact role, but it's like a marketing role.
I worked the hardest job ever. Oh my God, that guy that's doing construction right outside of my building, he doesn't know my pain. That's like, what the hell? Wham, wham, wham.
See, and I think this is really, really interesting because you are probably, I mean, you're almost 20 years older than this girl. So you guys are two completely different generations. I'm only about maybe 7, 8 years older than her. So I'm a millennial. She's Gen Z, but I'm a very young millennial. Mm-hmm. I'm right at the cusp of that. And when I first saw that video, I was like, well, boo hoo. Like, I've been working since I was 16. I used to work till midnight on my feet. And like, I've worked a corporate job 9 to 8, 8 to 5, like since I graduated college. So, like, I was like, yeah, that's just what you do. But I do think that two big factors play into that. One was COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone started working from home if they could, you know. Like, I work from home because all I need to do my job is the internet and a computer.
Right.
I don't even need a phone for my job. I literally just need a computer. You work car sales, so, like, you have to go into the office. Mm-hmm. So people can show off the cars, let people test drive cars. Like, you have a job where you can't work from home.
Correct.
So someone who is going to college during COVID is probably taking online classes, doing a lot of stuff at home. Even if she had like a marketing internship, she's probably doing all the work on a computer at home. And then you have to start going into an office, which I don't know if you caught it in the video, but she lives in New Jersey and she has to commute to New York.
Right. Yeah. She was saying something mm-hmm. about she can't afford to live in the city.
It's like, if she could live close to work, she would, but she can't afford it.
That's everybody. Everybody that mm-hmm. commutes for a reason. Me and my wife live about 45 miles from my wife's job. Well, the reason that she commutes is because the same house where we live in the suburb of Dallas is going to cost us like 3 times as much in Dallas, maybe 4 times. So the whole time is money thing, it's like, well, I can spend an extra 45 minutes or an hour commuting every day, and I can save $300,000-$400,000 on a house. You see what I'm saying? It's time versus money. Would I rather spend the money? Would I rather spend $400,000, $500,000 on a house 5 minutes from work? Or I can have the exact same house for, you know, a fourth or a fifth of the price. time versus money.
Yes, and that is shifting between these two generations. So I feel like people, I'm going to say your generation because you're Gen X.
Yeah, Gen X, Y, something like that.
You and ups, like up to like the baby boomers, because these are how my parents brought me up, is that time is not more important than money. So like even if my, if I decided to work every single day as a 16-year-old at my part-time job, as long as like I kept my grades up, my parents would not care. They would not care that I didn't have time to hang out with friends. They would not care that I had time to do hobbies. They wouldn't have cared if I didn't have time to just rest. It's like, as long as you keep your grades up and you're doing well in school, if you want to work every single day after school and all day on the weekends, work double shifts, open to close, we don't mind because you're working hard and you're getting paid for your work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I was brought up, right? From that generation. But Gen Zers, and I don't know if it's parents' fault or just because of COVID or just because they're so young, but they value time more than money. They want to spend more time like living life. Like they want to have time to do their hobbies. They want to have time to hang out with their friends. They want to have time to do other things and live life and mentally be well than actually have more money.
But here's the other thing too, is that they want more time, but they also want the things that require money. They want to go eat fancy dinners. They want to go to Taylor Swift concerts. They want to, you know, they want to go on vacations. They want to do all that. And that's great, but you have to have money to do those things. You can't, you know, you have to have money. And so one of the motivational speakers that I listen to a lot is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold's in his 70s now, so you're going to have to go with that. Understand he's an older guy. But Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, did a lot of stuff on his own. He's the American dream. Like, he got the farthest in politics that you can get as somebody not born in America. He was governor of California. But Arnold is from the school of thought of you have 24 hours in a day. And you're going to spend maybe 8 hours at work, 2 or 3 hours commuting. You know, you're going to spend some time eating, some time working out, some time doing your hobby. And you're going to spend 6 to 7 hours sleeping. But even if you spend 6, 7 hours sleeping, you still have plenty of time to go do what you need to do if you take care of your time properly. And she could do that too. She's on a train for an hour each way. What can you do? I mean, if you're like, oh, I don't have time to read this book, read it on the train. Oh, I don't have time to FaceTime my girlfriend. Do it on the train. You're on a train. You're not like my wife who has to drive, who has to actually focus behind the wheel and like navigate through traffic. You're on the freaking train. What do you have to do from the moment you get on the train to the moment you get off? Nothing. It's all about what you do with your productivity. So if you have 2 hours and you feel like, oh, I could make money on the side hustling. You know, I could post stuff for sale on Facebook, on eBay, blah, blah. Guess what? You got 2 freaking hours right there. If you want to do a second job, if you want to do some of this online stuff people do, what are different jobs you can do on the side online? Like people do like proofreading and like, all, like there's all kinds of like little side jobs you can do. You can do all that stuff. You can read your self-help book. You can do your meditation. You can do a lot of stuff that you don't, you know, you can read wellness stuff. You can watch your TikTok. You can watch TikTok. You can watch Facebook. You can watch YouTube. You can do all that crap that you do when you get home. What is she doing in those 2 hours that she can't do on the train, but she waits to do it when she gets home? You can decompress. You can get on a train and prop your feet up and decompress. You know what I'm saying? My wife gets home from a 1 hour commute and then she has to decompress because she's been dealing with traffic. You know, that's a whole animal. I don't know if you've ever commuted an hour or 45 minutes, but it's a whole different, like your work day does start when you leave the house because you got to get in the car. You got to fight traffic. You got to deal with people. Like you start dealing with people from day one to where as soon as you get to work, you've already been at work. That's a part of your work day. You know, she doesn't have to. That's not a part of her work day. People on the train mind their business. You know,
but there's still limitations to that. Yes, you could do things like on your phone or read or make phone calls and FaceTime calls. But like, what if you wanted to work out? You maybe the train's crowded. Maybe she has to stand. Like, you can't do yoga on the train.
But I'm just saying, like, if she's like, oh, I want to go to school and get my, you know, and I want to get my doctorate. Okay, cool. You can do that. You can go to school online. You can do your homework while you're on the train. You know what I'm saying? I agree.
There are some things she could do on the train. But, like, physically, if you needed to be somewhere else. Yeah. Like, if you wanted to garden or if you wanted to take a class that wasn't, like, study schoolwork, like learning a trade or a cooking class, or if you wanted to be a mentor to someone in sports. I don't know. Like, there are still things you can't do. And I get what you're saying. And I think I 60% agree with your viewpoint because of how I was raised, and I'm older than this girl, and I've been there. I've worked two jobs where I literally worked 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, and I worked doubles on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I had no life. I had no life. But sure. I got my student loans paid off. I saved up to buy a new car. So, like, I get it. But I do see the appeal of just having more time to enjoy life and not always having to manage your time down to the minutes and mm-hmm. just being able to relax. Like, what? I wish I had time to just relax without having to schedule in my book, okay, from 2 to 4 today, I can relax.
Well, and here's the thing, too. And this is the way that I was raised. And this may have been the way that you were raised, too. Is that in your early years of in the workforce, you're building your career. You're building momentum. You're building everything. And then you get, you know, that's in the very, very beginning when you're in your 20s. And then by the time you get into your late 20s, your early 30s, you know, you're building your family. Maybe you've bought a house. Maybe you've started paying off some debt. And then as you get older in your 30s and 40s, you're kind of getting to that point where, like, hey, I'm raising my kids. I'm getting to the point where I can retire. And I think what's going on is that some people retire when they're 60, 65, 70. But I think some people think, like, I need to retire at 40 because I'm missing out on life. And that's great if you can do it. But in order to do it, you have to put in the work. It doesn't, if it takes you until you're 60 and it takes you 40 years in the workforce, some people it's going to take them that long. Some people are going to bust their butt and they're not going to have friends, and they're going to work 7 days a week, and they're going to work doubles. They're going to do all that. They're going to be entrepreneurs and go to work and go to school, and they're going to be able to retire at 35, 40. But that's because they put in the work. It's like at the end of the day, you still have to put in the work, whether it takes you 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, you still have to put in the work. And if you've ever met people that are older, there's some people that I know that are like 55, 60 years old that don't look like they're going to retire anytime soon at all. Like, they're not capable of it. They have too much debt. They have too much, like, they're still, like, just not there. They haven't got it. And it's like, it's because they farted around when they were 20, 30, 40, 50. They pissed their money away on drugs and alcohol and women and all that stuff, cars. It's like, you have to put in the work. It's all up to you as to how much work you're going to put in and when you're going to put it in. But it's going to take 100% effort, whether it takes you 50 years or 20 years or 10 years. You still got to put in that 100%.
Is the work worth the reward, though?
Well, it's all about what you want.
Your perspective. And these generations have two different wants.
But they want the same things that I want, except they're like, why don't I have it? Because you didn't put in the work. You didn't earn it. You know, you want a freaking Tesla. Great. Tesla's cost $50,000. You're bitching that you can't afford a $50,000 car because you work 30 hours a week. Okay, go work for it. You know, you can't sit there and say, I want to go eat steak and lobster on a Friday night if you don't put in the work to earn it. You know what I'm saying? I can go do that because I put in the work. You can do that because you put in the work. But that's the problem I have with people like this, is that they want the same things, but they don't want to. They're like, why can't I have it? You can. I know 20-year-olds that can do it. But guess what? They put in the work. It sounds really stupid for me to say that. It really does. It's really that easy. You put in the work, whether it's school, whether if you want, like her, she's got 125,000 TikTok people now following her. Guess what? You can monetize that. If you really worked at it, if you got that many followers now because of this stupid video, guess what? You can monetize that. You can bust your butt for the next 6 months, the next year, And a year from now, you'll be living in the city because you handled it right. Or you'll be one of those people that's gifted all these viewers and do nothing with it. And a year from now, you're like, well, I'm still working the same dead-end job. Well, that's because you didn't choose to take that opportunity and run with it. She has an actual opportunity, whether she realizes it or not. Do you know what I'm saying?
I can tell you listen to a lot of motivational speakers.
But I'm just saying.
You're so passionate. I love it.
But there is an opportunity that's fallen into her lap. I'd love to see what she's done a year from now. At the end of 2024, I want to see what has she done with this opportunity. Does she have less viewers? Does she have less videos? Like, is she not making any money because she chose not to monetize it? You know? But
maybe she can't monetize it to the fullest extent because she also works a 9-to-5. And I get it. She can work on the train and on the weekends. But it's one thing to give your 100% and the extra time you have versus giving 100% when you're not working another full-time job.
I know.
You know?
But I mean, I'm just...
I think it's all a time and money thing. You're right. What's more important to you? Working hard and getting the money or just having your time?
But I, you know what? And I'm one of those people that before my wife, before my son, all I did was work. I didn't take vacations. I didn't see the point in like fancy dinners and all that stuff. I just worked. Mm-hmm. I like to work. I enjoyed it. I work. I go to the gym. I eat at home. I didn't really do anything. And then my wife came along and started going out, started traveling. I didn't travel anywhere for like a decade. And she came along and everything has changed. And slowly... Yes, I do acknowledge that you want the time, and I do appreciate the time. But I also know that if I want the nicer stuff, I have to work for it. There's no magic pill.
No, I've been there. Like I said, I worked two jobs, and I had no life for a year. And I granted, it was not the best year of my life. It wasn't the happiest year of my life. But I could see down the road, it's like, okay, I'm doing this now, and it sucks, and I hate it, and it's awful. But... I'm not going to have any more student loans for the rest of my life unless I take more out to go back to school later. But it was still really, really hard and not everyone can do it.
And guess what? You have friends now who are your age, who have all the adult bills that you have, mortgage, car, credit cards, blah, 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 and the freaking student loans.
Yeah.
So guess what? On Friday night, they might be like, well, I can't really go to that restaurant. It's not really in the budget this week. And Caitlin can be like, well, I'm going to go. I can afford it because I paid off my student loans because I put in the work. It's like you still got to pay the debt.
I know.
You still got that debt's going to get paid in 30 years or in 5 years. It all depends on how you do it.
I think this is a big life lesson for her. And it, like, you know, it really is a lifestyle change. And I think she'll get used to it, obviously. But I think that's just how young people feel when they start.
And I'm really disappointed that there's 125,000 young people that just empathize with her. And I'm sure there's more now. She probably has more followers now. But I'm just like, I'm kind of disheartened in this generation, you know, with them. It's like, God, really? And I know that there's some of them that are like, you're just a whiner. Just stop crying. Go to work.
If they can get me a 4-hour work or a 4-day work week, though, I'll be really happy.
Yeah, but guess what? To do a 4-hour work week, you still probably got to work 10, 12 hours a day.
Oh, I don't mind doing 4-10s.
But it's still the same hours.
I know, but I still have a whole day back.
I know.
I'm doing the same amount of work. I'm putting in the same amount of hours, but it gets me more time.
I know, but you're working a little harder to get to accomplish that. You still have to. What's the key word? You still got to work.
Yeah, but I'm not working harder.
You are working harder because you're working longer hours.
But it's the same work.
But the same thing with her. The key word is you still got to go to work. You still got to put in the effort. She's complaining because she has to put in the effort and then sit on a train for an hour.
Y'all let us know what you think. I think we're going to get like a mix of responses. Like a lot of people are going to agree with you and a lot of people agree with me, even though I like 60% agree with you. The 40% of me is like, I'm a millennial and I like having more time now that I know what it's like to have time.
I like having time stuff. I like having time, but I like having the luxuries.
Money.
I like having the luxuries.
Well, let's move on. Let's move on to this last news article. And this one's, I'm going to call it juicy. This one is scandalous. We're going to pour the tea. I'm a Virgo. I like the tea. We're going to spill it. Have you heard what's going on with Britney Spears, y'all?
She released a book.
She released a book.
A tell-all book.
A tell-all book. And I'm so excited because this book puts Justin Timberlake in a really, really bad light. Mm-hmm. He has been America's like golden boy, man, child, whatever, since like the early 2000s. And I think this book is going to completely derail him.
Let me tell you how golden this boy was. He exposed Janet Jackson's boob during the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And they shunned her.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, Janet Jackson shouldn't have allowed that to happen. Like, she should have. I'm like, I'm sorry. Justin Timberlake pulled it off. Janet Jackson didn't expose it. He exposed it. But somehow it came down to being Janet's fault. Mm-hmm. That's how golden this dude was. Mm-hmm. They created FCC laws because of this guy.
Yeah, yeah. And the same kind of thing happened. So Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears dated, right? They dated for about 3 years, mm-hmm. from like 1999 to 2002. Mm-hmm. And after they broke up, Justin was the one, they were all like, oh, we're so sorry. Oh, it must be so sad for you. And they made Britney look out to be, oh, she cheated on him and she's a heartless. She's evil. She's mean. She's awful and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that's not the case at all.
No, it actually sounds like Britney took the high road all those years, right?
Yeah, yeah. So one thing you might remember is like right after they broke up, Justin Timberlake released a song called Cry Me a River.
I was going to do it and I was like, no, I'll let you do it.
Yeah. And there's a music video for it. In the music video, it shows about like it's showing him obviously having a fight with his so-called like girlfriend in the music video, who has long blonde hair, who looks very similar to Britney Spears, and it's showing her cheating on him and all this stuff. And so everyone's like, oh, this is about Britney and the way Britney cheated on him, and that's why they broke up. So yeah, poor Justin. Mm-hmm. Right? No, that's he. They're not both perfect angels. The first thing to know is that, one, Justin Timberlake cheated on Britney Spears while they were together. But Britney Spears also cheated on him.
Yeah.
Right? So they're not both innocent in this.
Right, but I guess the part of it that's a little scandalous is like all these years we all thought Britney was the only guilty party.
Mm-hmm.
And it never really came out about this until these little excerpts of the book started coming out. And it's like, oh, all these years, she's been taking the high road. And she's just been kind of eating it. She's mm-hmm. been kind of just taking the abuse.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. So.
There's more.
There's a lot. And I'm not going to be able to go over a whole lot. But just like some of the biggest things that are coming out from this book is that she actually got pregnant by Justin Timberlake.
And there was an abortion.
And he forced her to get an abortion because he didn't want to be a dad yet. She never told the press this. She never came out and told the public this. She kept this private. That, like, saved his career.
Well, and, you know, well, it saved both of their careers. But it comes down to the fact that she didn't out him in regards to, he really, really, really did not want to have this baby with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you get pregnant and you have an abortion and it's kind of mutual for whatever reason, that's one thing. But if it's like very one-sided where one party wants the kid, but they don't keep the baby because they're trying to appease their significant other.
That's, you know, what Britney Spears did.
And she probably did that because she didn't want to lose him.
Nope.
Which she did anyways. So, yeah, it makes Justin look like a monster.
Yeah.
In that regards.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes it, the excerpts that I've read is like, she has been under somebody's thumb for a lot longer than we thought she was. You know, whether it was the conservatorship with her dad or this relationship. She's had some other, Kevin Federline wasn't an angel either. But it's like, you're just reading like how she kind of has always just been like, I guess she hasn't been able to be herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's always had somebody that's like kind of pushed her down or mm-hmm. held her back.
Yeah, it was when they broke up, he was making really, really crude comments about their intimacy and like all that stuff. And I don't remember her saying any of that stuff about him. The next thing, kind of following that big revelation about getting pregnant, is that Britney Spears released a song. What's it called? Like Every Time?
Mm-hmm.
Every Time I Cry or Try to Fly, I Fall or whatever. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, aw, that's because she lost Justin as her partner and blah, blah, blah. And it's about Justin, how she lost, like, you know, her boyfriend. No, it's coming out that that song is actually about the baby she aborted.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because she sees the baby in her dreams. She thinks about the baby all the time. And it's not about JT. It's about the baby that she got rid of.
Oh, my God.
And she regrets it. And she hates that she did it. That's what that song is about. Not Justin.
Holy Jesus.
Yeah, that was another big revelation that came out of that. Let's see what else.
That's enough. That's tease enough.
Did I tease enough? There's so much, though. There's more about her family. It's not all about Justin. There's also a lot of stuff about her family, her conservatorship. It gets bad.
I was reading a thing the other day, an article, and they were talking about that there's so much stuff. I think there's enough for a second book.
Oh, wow.
I think is what I was reading is that she's debating on, I guess, depending on the success of this book, is she would release a second one. I don't think she released all the dirt.
There's only so much, like, you know, you have to work with publishers and editors, and they want to get the good stuff out. Maybe what they think is the most important stuff. But yeah, I mean, she's what, 40 something?
She's my age.
She's got a lot of stuff to talk about.
So the thing that makes this book so exciting for people, especially people my age. I mean, I grew up and she was my age. So like she was on TRL and all that stuff. And I was like a year older than her. So you saw this person and you, while you're living through your teens and your 20s and your 30s, you're seeing this person living their life at the same time you are. And obviously they're living it differently, but you get to see like this person go through some crap and you got to see them like go like publicly, like the same stuff that some of us go, obviously now in retrospect, some of the same stuff we went through as teenagers and in college and all that, you're seeing that, you saw her do that publicly. So I think a lot of people, especially women my age, are really into this book because like a lot of them grew, you know, there's a whole generation of women that grew up on Britney and they got to see her from the Mickey Mouse Club, TRL, you know, early 2000s, all that stuff, you know, Kevin Federline, shaving her head, you know, conservatorship, like there's so much stuff. And she's only 40, 42, whatever, however old she is. That's a lot of crap for like one person. So I think this book's going to do really well just from that generation. And then I think it'll spread out to other people, like kids and your mom and stuff will read it too. People that like watched her, but they didn't live like that. Like they didn't experience it real time with her.
I think that would be like me. Like she's obviously older than me by about 10, 12 years. So she was popular when I was young, but it wasn't until like friends told me about her and I wasn't in love with her. Like I liked her, but she wasn't like my whole life or anything.
Well, and she was in that generation when the paparazzi was like really big. Like the paparazzi was like, I mean, that's TMZ. That's when all that stuff started. Like the internet, what's the dude, Paris Hilton?
Mm-hmm.
That guy, like all that stuff, you see, like that's when the internet really was getting big in regards to following these celebrities. You know, this is right after, you know, the paparazzi's always been big in Europe, and that was really big when Princess Diana died in 97. And then somebody like Britney comes along, and this is like a modern era like Madonna or Michael Jackson, like those big figures that they watch everything that you do. You know, they're in the bushes at the house. They're watching you go to a restaurant. Who is she dating? Who is she going partying with? What's she doing with her kids? It's like, you see all this stuff. And it was probably one of the first celebrities that really got that microscope that wasn't like Michael Jackson or Madonna. And, you know, when the internet made everything more accessible. So I think it really is like she's more important than I think most people think, in at least in pop culture. Like, she's one of them people that, like, they're going to remember her 50 years from now.
Absolutely.
Maybe not for the music, but they're going to remember her. You know? So, it's exciting. I actually want to read it.
Well, good news. We're going to read it for our next book.
Ah.
Yeah. See? Like what I did there.
Yeah, yeah, you teased it.
I teased it.
For the Law and Disorder Book Club, the next book in the series, I don't know what this thing's called. It's called the Brittany book.
It's called The Woman in Me.
It's not The Woman in Me, but I'll just call it the Brittany book.
Okay, well, the title
I'm not
going to
call it
is
The Woman in Me.
Okay, you can call it the Brittany book.
Just call it the Brittany book.
Yes.
So yeah, we're going to do that for the next book review.
And I'm excited.
I think this will be a faster read.
Yes.
I think this will be a quick read, and we'll be like, it'll be a page turner, I hope.
I mean, the last book was at the end of it. And I think this book is, yeah, I think just because it's tea, it's drama, you really want to know what happened. I think, yeah, it's good.
There's so much hype. And again, it's one of those things where you already are familiar with the stories. So it's like, ooh, that's what really happened. Ooh, that's what was going on in the background. Like, that's the stuff I want to read.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ooh, so this is going on while this was going on. It's like, I didn't hear about this part. So
I'm excited.
Yeah. So that's the next book in our book read. Book club. So that'll be coming somewhere in the near future. Maybe it'll be before the end of the year.
I think we'll easily get it, our reading and review in before the end of the year.
Before the end of 2023. Okay. That's a goal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll put us at 3 for the year. That's pretty good.
Especially since we didn't start. Well, I mean, if we had started at the beginning of the year, I'd been like, no, that's really bad. But we didn't.
We started in like the middle.
Yeah.
So, well, I think that's going to wrap up news, huh?
Yeah, I'm tired of talking to news.
That was a lot of Law and Disorderly news. We've got plenty of drama coming up. Well, that's it.
Yep.
So we're going to end it here. On behalf of myself and Miss Caitlin, let's thank the sponsors. Thanks to Young Ideas Dish for all of your Dish and Google product needs. Wave Space Audio for the music, as always. And that's it.
Thanks for sticking around.
We are out of here. Later, guys.
Bye.